Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Carolyn Yeager's Revisionist Report for Tuesday, July 26. As promised, Will Hike is back with us to inform and enlighten. He is a revisionist from British Columbia, Canada. His website is Inconvenient History Revisionist Blog, which the URL for that is www.revblog.codoh.com. Wilf has been looking at the recent sale of the Joseph Mengele diaries to an Orthodox Jew for, I think, $245,000 was all they cost, which means that these diaries are now in private hands and hands that are definitely of a partisan nature. So let's see what Wilf has to say about it. Good morning, Wilf, and welcome to the Revisionist Report once again.
Yeah, good morning, Carolyn, and thanks for having me back.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure, for sure.
And I hope I don't disappoint you, because Mengele is not my strong suit, but there was a press release here a while ago about these diaries, and we talked about it a little bit, and I did some looking, and I found an article posted by one of our bloggers, one of our mates, Thomas Cuse, also posts on the revisionist blog that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And it's titled Mengele's Unknown Writings to be Auctioned. And it starts out by saying, 60 years after the notorious Nazi death camp at Auschwitz was liberated and the horrific crimes of Dr. Joseph Mengele were first revealed, these diaries are going to be auctioned off. And I'm not going to quote too much from that article. And it also says that the owner of this auction house, Bill Papagopoulos, the president of Alexander Historic Auctions, has a strong opinion on the sale of the archive. And his quote, scholarly institutions or historic collections should obtain these writings, not as a remembrance of a horrific period of world history, but more as a learning tool for future generations to recognize the psychopathic mentality that incited the Holocaust so that similar genocides are never repeated. End of quote. So he recommends that this diary should be sold to a institution to make use of it, and I'm all in favor of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears, and that is also still from Thomas's article, that some of that diary had been already discovered a while back, because there's a book's written, Fired Lux, and this is it contains some of the diaries, and this was never even really mentioned big time or nothing. It just kind of sort of disappears.
All right. Okay. Well, that's a good start. We're coming up to our first break, Wilf. So we'll take that, and ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a few minutes with my guest, Wilf Hike.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne?
Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com. Where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager with my guest, Wilf Hank. And Wilf, I think you were just telling us that some of this Mengele diary material leaked out in the past and nothing much was made of it.
Yes. And I need to elaborate on this a little bit. I made a statement here about fiat lux. This is not quite, yeah, it plays in. But what happened is, and that is again from the Thomas article, that in the 1980s, a magazine in Germany, Bund Magazine, published an article about these diaries or parts of them. They quote sparingly from it. It is written here. And Mengele said that he admitted to people dying at Auschwitz, but he says that it was due to conditions in the camp. And he said it is natural and understandable that the camp was suffering very bad hunger and after all the problems, and therefore I saw what was to be expected. So he's not denying that people died at the Auschwitz. And again, I'm quoting from Thomas's article. According to a Munich pharmacist and his wife, who met with him soon after the war, Mengele wanted to turn himself in, but was finally persuaded against it. To this, couple, Mengele declared his innocence, and he said that he had nothing to hide. Terrible things did happen, but it was due to the conditions. So what has happened here is Mengele stayed in Germany until 1948 or 49, I believe. He did not leave for South America immediately, and I'll get into that a little bit here later on. And now looking at some other sources, I like to quote from Israeli sources, and one of the papers I read daily is Haaretz. It's an Israeli daily, as I said. On February the 4th, an article of 2010, so more than a year and a half ago, an article appeared with titled Grandson of Auschwitz Survivor Buys Mengele Diary. Now, that was in February 2010, and it says that the grandson of a Holocaust survivor has purchased the diary of Josef Mengele. It doesn't say portion of or part of. It says the diary of Josef Mengele. And it is a 180-page journal which he intends to donate to a Holocaust museum. And that is, again, that Bill Panagopoulos of Alexander Autographs, of this auction house. And so...
Well, just let me ask here. I've got a in this article I've got here, it says in 2004, German police seized Mengele's journals in a raid on the home of a couple with whom he lived in Sao Paulo. Mm-hmm. And the journals were later given to his son, Rolf Mengele.
Yes.
Does that fit in?
Yes, it fits in.
Is this the couple you're speaking about?
It might be. I don't know. But no, this couple was from Germany. But what this Haaretz article says here, that the Mengele diary was auctioned off in 2010, 180 pages of it. And it also mentions that some of it was in the possession of his son. So the question I have to ask here, why the big hubbub now? What and how many diaries are there? What is happening here? Anyway, we now go to the recent 18th of July, 2011, also from Haaretz. And the headline is thousands of pages from Dr. Mengele's journal to be auctioned in the U.S. More than 4,000 pages of journal entries and other material written by the Nazi doctor, are expected to be sold for between $300,000 to $400,000. Now, again, what's happening here? How many of these diaries are there around? Is this part of it, or is that a new one? There is no mention of it.
In this article I've got, and I'm not saying it's correct. It's these popular things. It's probably in a British newspaper. I don't have here where I got it from, but I think that's it. But it says that after they were later given to Mengele's son, Rolf, then they were passed on and excerpts were published. And then they ultimately reached an American collector who is now offering them for sale.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I've got a note here, too, that before offering Mengele's journals for sale, this Bill Panagopoulos that you mentioned, he tried to sell them to institutions and museums, and they didn't want them. It says a representative from Yad Vashem perused the material, and nobody was willing to pay for it. That means there was nothing in it.
Exactly.
This is what I think you're going to be telling us, too, and we need to alert the listeners to that right off the bat, I think. There's really nothing condemnatory in these. And so this guy may be buying it, this Orthodox Jew, and then they can later on start saying, oh, well, they're really awful. Or they can just hide them from the public so that they won't know that there's nothing in there.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No, this is exactly what because you see, this is not, when you look at these newspaper releases of the last few weeks, they make it appear as if, gee, we just found these diaries. Golly gosh, it isn't true. They have been around for years, for 30 years, as it turns out. They were discovered in the 80s already, in the 1980s, and nothing was made of it then. Why the importance of them right now? I don't.
Publicity. Holocaust publicity.
Yeah,
keeping,
exactly.
Keeping the Holocaust alive.
Exactly. And this is exactly the reasoning behind it, because the revisionists are making inroads and they need to come up with something new again to shore up the story. But it isn't working because, as you said, there seems to be nothing in there. In that one Haaretz article, it says also that last month, this Simon Wiesenthal Center in the United States bought a historic letter written in Adolf Hitler's own hand for $150,000. I found that to be interesting. They pay $150,000 for a couple of pages. Why did the Simon Wiesenthal Center, who is surely not short of cash, why did they not buy the diaries?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why didn't they bid on them? And, they hoped to get almost up to $400,000 for them, and they only got $245,000, and the bidding stopped.
Yeah,
you know, that's as high as it went. And this rich too, obviously, was willing to go that high, and nobody then, made it any more difficult for him. So
right. So anyway, now, when the diaries were sold, another article from Haaretz of 22nd of July, Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox man, it doesn't say Jew, man buys...
No, of course, but we know.
Yeah, well, who else would be ultra-Orthodox? Man buys diaries of Nazi Dr. Mengele for $245,000. That's... And it says in that article, the price for Mengele is nearly 3,400 handwritten pages of invective fell short of widely cited estimates of the value of 400,000 to 1 million. So they were trying to get quite a bit more. But, and here we go, it is, there is, underneath, it says, Wolfgang Benz, who is one of the German historians, he commented, he said the documents belonged in the German Federal Archive and called the auction obscene. As I think it is even more obscene, that's his quote, that anybody expected a Jewish organization to buy these diaries, the historian told German public radio. And the Mengele biographer Ulrich Wirklein called the auction distasteful. Putting such things up for sale is one of the most crude things that you can imagine. Now, why did the German government not step in? Why did the German government not offer to buy them and make a present to Yad Vashem? Why did the Jewish community, they have a lot of influence in Germany. And whenever the German government even appears to go out a step, they'll protest, and the German government grovels immediately. Why did they not tell the German government to buy them? If there was anything in them, they would have. And here's from the 18th July press release, here's the kicker, and I believe that's it. The buyer, it says, and I'm quoting, the buyer will also be entitled to the copyright, which can then be sold to a publishing house, a documentary film production company, or for any other project. What I believe is going to happen here is that these diaries, as they are useless to shore up the story. So they need to be rewritten into, I'm sure, a film will be made. And the film will say that it is based on the Mengele diaries discovered then and then and then. And there will be, just like in Schindler's List from Steven Spielberg, there will be black and white scenes in the film suggesting that it might be original material and so on and so forth. And it will all be dressed up. And then they will be released, but not as they are now. But as
my goodness, that's really you're no doubt right. We'll continue with this, ladies and gentlemen, in 3 minutes after our break.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time, money, education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a one-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My guest, Wilf Heinke, has been telling us about what he thinks may be the use that will be made of these Mengele diaries, which don't really have any condemning information in them against the Nazis or about what was happening in the camps. And I will tell you that if you have a question for Mr. Heinke on this topic, the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Okay, well, please continue.
Yeah, okay. And please forgive me. My voice is not the best this morning, but I'll try and make it through.
It's fine.
Okay, thanks. Anyway, this is my take on it. And I don't want to dwell too much on Mengele anymore because to me it is obvious that the diaries do not contain anything condemning, as you mentioned. Because if they would, that would have been spread in the 1980s already. It wasn't. Then it was 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. There was portions of it sold. Nothing happened. Now we have this. Again, they disappeared. Somebody bought it and they have gone. But as I said before, I don't think we've seen the last of it yet, although when they do reappear, they will be altered to fit the occasion, if I may put it that.
Yes, now, well, like here, for example, let me just bring this up to you, because mm-hmm. It says that, you know, in this article, this is the way they talk. Of course, they have to, they call, there's probably, Joseph Mengele has probably been demonized worse even than Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is an absolute monster, yet the man never did anything like they say he did. Now, they say that, you know, he was born in 1911, and in Bavaria, he studied medicine. He joined the Nazi Party in 1938. It wasn't until 1943 that he was posted to Auschwitz as a doctor. Of course, they mm-hmm. called it an extermination camp in this article. And then they say where he carried out experiments on human beings. Well, what kind of experiments? You know, we have never been shown any hard evidence of what he did except for nonsensical stories. And then they say especially infamous were his experiments on twins. Well, what did he do to twins? Again, you know, you don't get any information like this. And of course, they don't find anything in this diaries. And he wrote all kinds of stuff in these diaries. And nothing like this shows up.
Yeah. And he was omnipresent, as you said. In that series you did about I forget the lady's name, the diamond lady, Sisblatt or something like that.
Sisblatt, yes.
The one who swallowed her diamonds every evening and reproduced them in the morning to swallow them again next evening.
Yeah.
Mengele also appears. He's in there in that story somewhere. He's in almost in every so-called witness testimony.
Oh, yeah, in fact, she knew him quite well because he picked her out for experiments. And
yes,
he's the one that sent her to the gas chamber, which she escaped. Miraculously escaped from. And all these, but she never could say anything definite about him, what he looked like. And, you know, he was always, these characters like Mengele are always presented as just somebody without any definite characteristics that they can show, say that they actually ever knew the man or met him or knew who he was. And there are a lot of doctors there, but it's always Mengele for everybody.
Oh, yeah. And
so this is one of the biggest and worst myths of the Holocaust.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can go ahead and take it where you want to go from here.
What I just want to add here is that I have absolutely no doubt, and we have records, that experiments were undertaken in these camps. Mm-hmm. But they were also done by other governments. The U.S. government experimented on people. Some of these, and the Professor Zeidler writes in his book, Justice in the Hands of the Victors, that some of these people that were undertaking experiments in Germany were taken directly to the States and continued their research over there. Just now it was right. Before it was a crime, but now when it was done for the good guys, it was good research. So,
tell me, when you say experiments, I mean, what were these people, what was happening to these people who were being experimented on? I mean, it wasn't like they say. It wasn't like they were being tortured.
No, absolutely not. Some of them were criminals. They were promised to be pardoned if they.
At Dachau.
And I'm sure the same thing happened. There was typhus. There were sicknesses. You have that many people crammed together in a camp as it was in Auschwitz-Birkenau. You have all sorts of, you name the sickness, and I am sure it was there. These doctors were up to, and this is what Mengele said in his statements that he made in Germany, that they did everything in their power to get a handle on those. So they had to experiment on things. Right now they're using mice and stuff and so on and so forth. At that time, they didn't have a laboratory equipped as they do now. So they had to do what was necessary to save thousands of lives. I'm sure this can be excused under the circumstances. I am absolutely sure this would happen if the shoe was on the other foot. The Americans or the British would do exactly the same thing and probably did.
Yes, and that's why when we say that they were doing some experiments, we need to really always point out, what that means, because people right away take it that if they were doing experiments, they were terribly misusing people and torturing people and killing people and so on unnecessarily, and that is not the way they were going about it.
No, yeah. I hear bells ringing.
Yeah, and if anybody can prove otherwise, they should come forward and do it, and not just with these silly stories that these so-called survivors tell. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes for our long segment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and my guest is Wilf Hank, who's been telling us about the Mengele Diaries and the big nothing that it all amounts to. And, Wilf, before you go on to talk about Adolf Eichmann, I want to mention here that maybe the reason the German government and their history organizations weren't interested in purchasing these diaries were because here I have some quotes from what Mengele wrote. And that is that he was talking, he says, the mudslinging in the German magazines is unbelievable. Unbelievable are the magazines and the pictured proofs of the spineless current German rulers who tolerate or even encourage this act of undignified self-defilement. Then he says, he goes on to say a few more things, and then he says, this is only the Old Testamentary hate against everything Germanic, heroic, and human supremacy. Now, I don't know it. I've never seen that term human supremacy before, but I guess it means the supremacy of the human in the world as it should be. He's not easy on the current Germans. Maybe they didn't like that.
Well, no, and yeah, but still, I still would say that if there was anything in it that would shore up this story, they would have made an effort to obtain it. They didn't even get involved. This thing was hardly ever mentioned in the German newspapers, so it just passed by. But what I'm trying to get at here is right at the beginning, I said that 60 years in that press release that Thomas is quoting from, it says after the horrific crimes were revealed. So what this article is saying is that we knew right along that Mengele was a mass murderer, allegedly. But that's what the picture that was painted all along. Yet, we learn that he was arrested by the Americans, taken prisoner of war, released, and he lived in Germany until 1949. Apparently, he changed his first name to Andreas, but it doesn't say that he changed his last name. So he stayed in contact with his family. And finally, then in 49, he escaped to Austria. Why did he not go right away if he was that mass criminal and this angel of death or whatever he is called? It would have been impossible to hide in Germany because you needed food stamps. I lived in Germany at that time. I know what I'm talking about. In Germany, you need identification cards, first of all. The North Americans are not used to that. But in Germany, especially at that time, wherever you went, passport, please, like you had to identify yourself. You couldn't, it was impossible to hide. You needed, mm-hmm. So he must have lived quite openly and was known. Yet we're told that right off the bat, they knew about him and his crimes. What this suggests to me, Carolyn, is that the story that we're presented today was not ready at that time. And there are more indications of that, that it was just not ready for being published. It was, and Dr. Stegley writes about that too. The first 10 years after the war, there was nothing about the Holocaust. And this is for the younger generation. This is almost impossible to believe because right now, the Holocaust, there's hardly a day goes by, if there's a day goes by, where it isn't mentioned in some forum or another. But at that time, right after it allegedly happened, there was nothing. Mm-hmm. And I have here, to just shore this up, I think I'll bring that in now. I have a declassified document. It is from NARA, N-A-R-A, from the National Archives. It's a letter dated February the 7th, 1961, and it's by Waylord B. Now, the last name could be Waters or Wooters, but he's American consul in Germany at that time, and he had a meeting with Fritz Bauer, who was then the Hessian Attorney General, and Fritz Bauer is a Jew. He had consul, this American consul here, Waters, I'll call him Waters, in the end writes that he suspects, but he can't prove it, that Bauer may well be connected in some high-ranking capacity with the Israeli Intelligence Service in West Germany. Anyway, in that meeting, they had a meeting about the Eichmann trial. That was about the time in 1961 when the Eichmann trial went down. And here's a quote. Bauer did not think that Israel would be in any sort of a hurry with the Eichmann trial. On the contrary, nor did he think the trials would be particularly sensational. He seemed to feel all parties involved would, quotation mark, behave wisely, end of quotation. And that Ben-Gurion, who was at that time Prime Minister of Israel, main's aim would be to secure, and again, quotation marks, historical light, end of quotation, for internal education purposes within Israel. And in brackets, Ben-Gurion thinks the new generation in Israel is as unbelieving of Jewish passivity in the face of mass murder as the new generation in Germany is unbelieving of mass German guilt, Bauer said. Okay, now we have this, you know, this really put me away because that was 1961. And Ben-Gurion thinks that this should be not Holocaust light, because the term had not been invented in 61. It was whatever. Historical light for internal educational purposes. What does he mean? That if the Holocaust would have occurred, he would have, the evidence would have been presented. Why does he have to talk about historical light and educate the Israeli public about it when the facts should be on the table? They weren't. And these are all these indications all along that the story has been put together very carefully before it was really presented and made public.
Yeah. Well, how do you relate that to the Nuremberg tribunals when they had a story put together, kind of a crude one?
Yes, and it was so crude that they couldn't go with it, or else they would have. Because when you look at and all we have is the printouts right now. I've been trying to find the German records from the Nuremberg trials. August von Knierim, who I mentioned in the last show, quotes from them extensively. I've contacted everybody that I know and in Germany. They seem to have either disappeared or I have no access to them. But so what we have here, we have to go with it, and I have to suspect that some of it has also been cleansed. But when you look at it, there is no really any evidence offered. There's this guy that said this, and the other guy said that, and case closed. There was nothing even.
Yeah, right.
They did
determine that there were gas chambers. They mm-hmm. did determine that 4 million died in Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Supposedly mostly in gas chambers, but some other ways. That was all there, but then it just got forgotten about it after they convicted everybody, and it was all about the German people and changing their thinking and so on. And then I guess Israel went through a process of putting all this together for what? I mean, to shore up their nation, or what would you say?
Well, I would say that Israel, as is today, and I mean, let's call it a spade. What they do to, let's call a spade a spade. What they do to the Palestinians, if it was not for the Holocaust, they would not get away with it. So this is vital to them. Merkel, the German Chancellor, said that this whole Holocaust and Israel is the reason for existence of Germany. This is how she crudely worded it.
The Federal Republic is also based on the guilt of the Germans in World War II and the Holocaust. So that puts Germany and Israel together as being based on the same things, their reality. That really ties them together, doesn't it? I never thought of it that way.
Absolutely. And this is why it is being defended tooth and nail, because the very existence of those two states depends on this story being true. And this is why no research is allowed. People are being jailed.
And that's why people need to understand the difference. I'm pounding the table here. The difference between the Federal Republic of Germany and the real German nation of the German people, which is really what Adolf Hitler always said. Germany was the nation, which was the people. It's not the state. He always said that. But they've turned it around exactly and said that he was representing a state against the people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually this Federal Republic of Germany that is doing that, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely.
And you know, there is a quote from, I have it somewhere, somebody did some digging, and the German Verfassungsgericht, the constitutional court, although Germany has no constitution, I don't know why they have a court like that, declared at some time that the Third Reich, or the German, the Weimar Republic, as it were, never ceased to exist. Now, that's very important, because this Germany that is now actually should have folded its tent when Germany was unified. But that's another issue. I don't want to get into it here now. But the Holocaust is the basis for it. I would just like to let's bury Mengele. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, we've got a call from Joe in Indiana. Would you like to take the call? He might have a question about Mengele.
Sure.
Bury him. We may not get away from Mengele after all.
Okay.
All right, Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi, good morning, Carolyn. Outstanding program as usual. And Wilt, it's a real pleasure to speak with you. I enjoyed your series on the partisans. Years ago when I was a college student, I had an independent study course where a group of my fellow classmates and I pioneered a program where we studied pretty much World War II European theater. We did a lot of readings, and partisans came up, and it's amazing. You verified so much information during that week, and it was just a pleasure to hear that because we had so many sources. But my point was, when I was in graduate school, right before graduation, we had a Jewish fellow in my class. I got to be good friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
And right before we graduated, his father was a doctor who had gone to Dachau. And he was to do the assessments and the evaluations. And this student, you got to remember, I knew him for 4 years. We became very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
He showed me his father's his final report, and I looked through it. And you were right. There was no mention whatsoever of gas chambers or people dying of poison gases. And the number one causes of death were listed as dysentery and all the various bacterial diseases that plague people because of food breakdowns.
Yeah.
And this person looked at me. He told me, he says, where do you see anything about extermination? And this guy was Jewish. He said, you know, and he made a comment to me. He said, you know, someday, he said, the truth will come out. He says, we're going to be in big trouble. I just wanted to pass that information on because I looked at that book, and I really wish I had gotten I wish I could have made a copy because it was priceless. It really was.
Yeah.
But it was an original document.
Thank you, Joe, for this.
Yeah,
thank
that's a terrific story, Joe.
Have an
eyewitness.
Thank you.
Okay. You know what? We've got another caller, Karen from Minnesota. Let's see what Karen has to say. Well, hi, Karen.
Mm-hmm. Hi. First of all, can I have your name? I didn't get your name clearly off the program.
I think she's talking to you, Will.
Oh,
yes.
Wilfried Heinck.
And how do you spell your last name?
H-E-I-N-K.
Okay. I am interested in finding out about this booklet that I found in my grandfather's house.
Mm-hmm.
He was Polish, came over the early century to the U.S., and had a lot of friends back in Poland, family. And the booklet does not have the cover on it, but the second page of it says, and it's all picture forms, and it's of the trial at Dachau.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's called International Information Office for the Former Concentration Camp Dachau.
Okay.
And they show a picture of the concentration camp Dachau, the office. And then all the other pages are in three languages.
Mm-hmm.
English, I think one is German, and one is maybe Russian.
Polish, maybe, perhaps.
Maybe Polish, yes. And they show the main entrance to the camp, all the pictures of the shooting grounds, the old crematorium, the gas rooms. And it's very, very old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, and then at the end, I think this booklet was used at the trial.
It could be.
There is no publishing date or anything, but...
Well, let me just throw in here that the International Information Office for the former concentration camp Dachau would be that group, wouldn't it, Wilf, that took charge of the camps later afterwards to make them into a memorial, and then they publish a lot of information. And they're really quite biased, in general, because they're promoting the story. Now, I don't know what's in the book that you'd have to tell us, Karen.
Well, it just shows the pictures of the camp and the and the bodies, and then it shows the trial, the sentence of the former leader of the office of the former camp, Chief Eichberger, is announced.
Mm-hmm.
The sentence of the former leader of the factory, D.A.W. Schultz, is announced.
Mm-hmm.
So this probably was something, I think I dated it to 1945 or 46.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had to be after the first trial, which would have been, I think, maybe it was 47.
Probably, something like that.
Yeah, then they have show people at the trial, the deposition of witness, and the session hall. So that is probably something that, like you said, was put out by the information office, and it's biased.
Yeah. It is. You see, Dachau, and I don't know if we want to get into it here, but just a short comment. There was a film made when these trials went on by Alfred Hitchcock, who it's a very gruesome film. He shows going down the staircase, and he one of his sentences is, "Let nobody say that they did not know." And then they show. But we have to remember that when that memorial was established, there was a sign put up in what is depicted to be the gas chamber. The sign read, gas chamber, but never in use. It was built, but never in use. Yet at these trials, there were people convicted of gassings. Later on, they admitted, however, that this room was not a gas chamber. That sign, by the way, has now disappeared because these gas chambers, after the unification of Germany in 1990, these gas chambers have in Sachsenhausen, Dachau, have been resurrected, if you will.
Yeah. All right. We have to go to our break. Thank you very much, Karen.
Yeah, thank you, Karen.
And thank you very much.
Dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Teravim. Teravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Teravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit teravim.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager. This is our last 5 minutes of the program with Wilfred Hite. And so, Wilf, tell us what you'd like to in the last minutes that we have here.
Okay, just briefly here about, you know, the story being put together. There's also, I lived in Germany, as I said, at that time. And Winfried Knotzer published an article in 2001 in Staatsbriefe that has now disappeared, unfortunately. There was a good German source of information. And he says the steps that it took to demonize the German past. He describes the first step right after the war. It was said that it was just like an infection and so on and so forth. And he goes into it, meaning, and As the past became demonized, the Holocaust story emerged. And there is absolutely no doubt in my mind, because this is well documented. Now, I would like to just briefly get to Eichmann. And maybe we can make a show out of it because I think I got some new material on it.
All right.
There is a reporter, an Argentine reporter, Gabi Weber, obviously of German heritage, judging by her name, and she speaks German, that is trying to – she gave an interview in Germany, and she says that that Eichmann kidnap story is bunk, the way we have we are told. And she gives details on it. What she did is she went to the German archives, and the Eichmann files are stored in the German Secret Service, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, BND, and she asked for the files to be released on Eichmann. They said no. She went to court. In Germany, they have something like the Freedom of Information Act. The court, and that no came right from the chancellery. The court told her she is right, and they have to release these files. She received some, and there is an article, a printout in a newspaper. Most of the pages were whited out completely. Others were completely black. The information that it contained was irrelevant about Eichmann's stay in Germany and so on and so forth. So they are still keeping information secret about Eichmann, although we're told that all of it is on the up and up. And with this sealed archive thing, I have read so much on that. And honest historians and authors will admit that archives are still sealed. And they're not accessible. How can historians then say, oh, we know everything, we know how it happened, if some of that stuff is still under lock and key? And why is it under lock and key? And why would they not release these Eichmann files? What is happening there? Eichmann stayed in Germany until 1950 under his name before he finally decided, because it was not because he finally realized that what he did was wrong. That's nonsense. This is the story that we are being told. That's nonsense. If you murder a guy, you know this is wrong. And he wouldn't have. So, I mean, all of a sudden, 5 years later, he sat down and said, Jesus, I murdered 6 million Jews. Maybe that wasn't the right thing to do. I better get out of here. Give me a break here. But this is exactly what is trying to, you know, this is nonsense that's being put
forward. Why did he leave?
Did he leave?
Yeah, because of the changing climate in Germany?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, Wilf, you're going to be back Thursday and Friday, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And we can either shift gears a little and talk about Eichmann on Thursday and start in on the extraordinary commissions, or we can put off Eichmann until next week. It's up to you. But anyway, we'll see you on Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We have to say goodbye for today. Thanks for listening.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and the government is out to make you pay for it. Can your savings survive?